Will water or the lack thereof limit the growth in Colorado and the West?
You know, that's an excellent question. And I would say that it's kind of that question of a carrying capacity. Have we reached the carrying capacity of the Colorado River? And certainly we've reached the carrying capacity in maintaining our lifestyles in the way that we're used to in the Colorado River. And you mentioned lawn watering and mega casinos. I do want to say, you know, Vegas is an easy target because it's a city in the middle of an absolute barren desert with lush oases of fountains and pools. I would point out the Gaylord new construction. There's a large facility that was opened in Aurora. I think you can see it as you drive up Tania Boulevard to DIA. If you're flying out of Denver, you'll see that large, enormous building that was created. They, too, have multiple swimming pools and incredible outside irrigated landscapes. That's watered with Colorado River water. So we can't just point fingers at the city of Las Vegas. I think it's a fair target. But if we're going to carry, if we're going to have more people moving into this river basin, which I think is almost impossible to say that we will not have them, our lifestyles are going to change. Just using Vegas as an example, they have been paying for years, paying their residents to yank out lawns, irrigated turf grass. They lobbied the city of Las Vegas and the Southern Nevada Water Authority that provides water to them, lobbied the Las Vegas legislature to pass a law that prohibits any watering of grass that's not used. So picture, and you can do this in Western Colorado really easy. You can picture it because we've all seen it. That's the medians that are irrigated. That's the tree lawns. That's the parking lots that have irrigated grass around them. That's our, you drive to the Grand Junction Airport and you see the green lawns that no one ever walks on. So if you don't walk on it, you don't play on it, you don't use it, you shouldn't irrigate it. And that's, you know, Vegas has taken a very hard line on that. Quite frankly, we are going to see a need to have all of our jurisdictions start requiring exactly that. I think that it is, we can't just point fingers at others. We've got to look at our own water use. And, you know, let's be frank about it. Here in the headwaters, every time you turn on your outdoor irrigation, you are taking water out of the Roaring Fork system. And we are anticipating in the Roaring Fork extremely high temperatures this year, fish kill, fishing prohibitions imposed by Colorado Parks and Wildlife. We've avoided them so far. But I can tell you that in the upper Colorado this year, so that's the area, if you will, below Granby, all the way down to Dot Zero. I just was corresponding with Colorado Parks and Wildlife about fish kills that have occurred in the last week up there. You know, our agency operates a reservoir up there. We voluntarily stopped filling it to great expense, and we started releasing water, cold water, out of the bottom of the reservoir, trying to cool the river and save fish. And we've been pushing Trans Mountain diverters like Denver Water and Northern to do the same, to stop the export of water for this year because we see it as so hot and so dry. And we're going to see that in the Fork. And so I think your listeners are primarily in this area. The answer is go out and turn off your irrigation. This is not a year where anybody should be planting a turf grass lawn or anybody should be worrying about it. If you happen to have a turf grass lawn, remember, that stuff is actually drought resistant. Don't water it this year. It'll come back next year. But these are long-term problems. So I would say, you know, we all need to start designing our landscaping. We need our cities and others to implement land use codes. I will also tell you, we work with all of our agricultural producers on the West Slope, and we all depend on their food and local food and fiber production, but we also need them to use less water. And so we're engaged in a lot of activities We're improving on-farm delivery systems with sprinklers and piping ditches and canals so that we stop losing water to evaporation and seepage, encouraging agricultural users to fallow ground that's marginal in times like this so that they can leave more water in the river and actually have sufficient water to irrigate and grow the food that they're growing. So it's all of us, Amy, at this point that really need to step up and recognize that we all have an impact on the river.